It's coming home. Is it? Is it coming home? I think it's coming home. England beat Germany 2-0, and Ukraine beat Sweden. And our quarterfinals are set at Euro 2020. Jane Spain joins to discuss the action and a quick look ahead to Friday and Saturday. Euro 2020, it just can't get any better, can it? Qué Golazo begins right now. Hey, everybody, welcome to Qué Golazo. And it was the final day of the round of 16, Euro 2020. What a day. James Benj in the house. James, how are you, my friend?
I am buzzing. Yes, this is a very exciting time to be living in the country or the small country known as England. I'm sure we will come on to talk about that momentarily. But yes, it's been a fantastic round of 16. I'm hyped for the quarterfinals. And I am getting a bit carried away about what is going to happen with England.
Well, you know what? Carry away, my friend. So happy, of course. So jealous. Wish I was over there. I was just WhatsApping my family, my sister, my cousin stuff. And the feeling, the vibes, baby. I love it. I love it. And we begin right there where James Benj was discussing. As England shake away those ghosts and defeat Germany 2-0. 2-0. James Benj wrote about it. CBSSports.com. A very good point. You know, it wasn't so much about, you know, the beautiful aesthetics. It was about getting the job done and the right tactics against the German side that really felt suffocated most of the time during that game. England did a very good job. Well done, Gareth Southgate. 2-0. Give me your thoughts, James Benj.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Toni Kroos really hit the nail on the head when he was talking about what Germany couldn't do. They couldn't get their long balls out wide to the wingbacks. They couldn't really get much in the way of penetrating balls through the middle to Kai Havertz and Thomas Müller. There were moments because, you know, there's some really world-class players in that attack, but I thought this was a win based on the foundation of a real grit and grind defense. I mean, that Thomas Müller shot was probably the first what you would call, I mean, and I suspect what Opta would call big chance that England have conceded in the Euros. And yes, he should have scored. And I think when we talk about England, and it's natural, I think, obviously, for you and me, you know, people that want England to be successful, it's natural to get carried away. We need to remember that, you know, when Gareth Southgate sets out to play this way, it can be skirting dangerously. You know, this game would have looked very different if Jordan Pickford hadn't got that really strong hand up to Kai Havertz volley, or if Timo Werner's shot had squirmed through, or even if Müller had hit that effort right, because England are basically playing the percentages. They are, you know, they're doing their best to negate their weakness, which is a slightly shaky defence that's looking better by the game. Harry Maguire, deservedly star of the match, we have to call it. Not allowed to say man of the match, that's trademarked, and I've now broken that trademark, so that'll be a bill coming for CBS.
We'll get it paid, don't worry.
They're just trusting at the moment that that in the end, at the other end, they'll do just about enough if they can keep the chances low and level between the two sides. And Raheem Sterling means that's probably the right thing to do. I thought it was a fantastic win, a really invigorating game. And, you know, as the England players said afterwards, they might have said beforehand that it's just another game, but it's Germany. And it does matter a bit more because they were raised with these stories of 96. You know, they will remember 2010 and 19, you know, they'll know about 1990 and they'll know about 66. It matters. And I think you could tell from the intensity they brought to the game.
100%. And I think they used Wembley to their advantage as well, I think, and getting that support. I mean, it was somewhat, I mean, I did see a lot of German support as well, but I think using their stadium, using the ground and the historical connotations of what you just referred to, I think, make a good point. And Gareth Southgate got his tactics right. The Müller chance was, a sitter. But I thought Jordan Pickford did well to try and disrupt it, but it was a sitter. But Pickford was really good. I think Harry Maguire, excellent. Calvin Phillips developed into the game. Bukayo Saka, your boy, at the beginning of the game, was very good. He was pretty much the only threat, really, because Germany in the first half were definitely offering way more interesting choices in terms of who was going to win this game. But Saka, at the very least, was causing much more mayhem.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's interesting when you say that. I agree. Germany were kind of offering a bit more early in the first half, but it didn't feel like... So for me, it seemed like early in the game, there was this brilliant... a few brilliant runs by Leon Goretzka, who was sort of like, okay, what happens if I just run through the middle of the pitch and
nobody stops me? What would happen? Yeah.
Oh, that works. but, you know, Declan, I mean, huge credit to Declan Rice.
Yeah, he was great too. England,
but playing that game he did on a yellow card for nearly all of it, excellent. But I just thought Germany, and this is kind of, for me, has been a bit of a theme throughout the tournament, is Germany kind of a bit light on ideas centrally. I know that Kimmich will be fantastic wherever he plays, but I do feel like having one of the most progressive, creative, or, you know, composed passing forces in Europe stationed wide on the right, you are losing a bit of that thrust centrally. And I mean, Havertz played excellently, but he's kind of trying to do two or three jobs at once. I think they were really missing that player to sit in the pocket and to dictate play a bit more, to give it more tempo and rhythm. And you know, if you kind of look back over this tournament, basically Germany, you know, the Hungary game, they were a little bit smash and grabby. And then in the Portugal game, they just scored the same goal over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, really a game that Portugal lost more than Germany won. I've been really disappointed with Germany, and because I think, you know, when we were talking about this game on HQ pre-match, I think it really hit home that this isn't, you know, this is not a bad team. This is not a Germany team that is incapable of winning tournaments based on the players they could put out there. But it is a team that's kind of lost a bit of imagination and a bit of spark. And really, they didn't create much. That Müller chance was as much down to John Stones making the first error I've seen from him in weeks, rather than any great attacking play. And I mean, Hansi Flick's, he's got a bit of a job on his hand, but equally, I look at it and I think there's some quick fixes there. Let's get some creativity central in the pitch. Robin Gosens is a wonderful player, but let's not build our team to get the best out of Robin Gosens. You know, I think that yeah, maybe is where Germany could look next.
Yeah, no, it's a very talented squad. Well said. All right, moving from the England side, you know, I think that also, you know, you mentioned Declan Rice. I thought that he was excellent. Harry Maguire, of course, we've talked about. I mean, I'm going to bring it up, James Bench. It was 0-0. Gareth Southgate brings on Jack Grealish. And, okay, he didn't do the assist, but he was a key part in that. You know, Raheem Sterling cuts inside, feeds it to Harry Kane, who gives it to Jack to Luke Shaw, boom, 1-0. And then in the second one, the assist to Harry Kane. I mean, he made a big difference.
He did. I think this is the, I would hate to spoil your party a bit, but I think the reality is that this is, whoever it had been, but if it had been, you know, Phil Foden, say, I would believe that you could get similar, because.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Yeah.
But I think with Grealish, there's a, much like Saka, really, I think that they enjoy the pressure. And Sterling, particularly in this tournament, they really do. They want the ball. I thought the one, you know, my criticism I always bring up with Grealish is I sometimes feel like he can slow England down. Not at all. Not at all today. When the ball came his way, it was go. It was go time. And actually, I thought things like the little things, but the timing of that cross to Kane was immaculate. You know, you go and look it back at the VAR review. If he holds that, takes one more touch, Kane is going to be offside. And even as slowly moving as Kane is, he's going to be offside. And you know, really excellent play, a perfectly clipped cross. And that's the moment that wins the game. And fantastic. I think with Grealish, we're seeing the emergence of a folk hero. To an extent, I can personally find that a little bit grating. I get the feeling that in a few months' time, we'll be sort of talking about the British and Irish Lions and saying, well, why is Jack Grealish not on taking conversions? That's rugby, by the way, people. And then in the Ashes.
Yeah, please. I'm glad you mentioned that because remember, US-based James Bench.
And then in the Ashes, which is cricket, which is...
Oh, God, here we go. Now we really have to make sure everybody's listening.
We'll be asking if Jack Grealish is the one to fix the England middle order of batsmen. And that has grated, but in the end, you cannot doubt the end product he's brought to this team. Same against Czech Republic. I'm super intrigued, and we'll come to talk about Ukraine, whether how Southgate now sets up his front line for teams that are just going to say, okay, you want the ball, you have the ball. You know, you can. You know, we're going to ask you to break us down.
Yeah,
but yeah, fantastic. A word as well, I guess, which probably should address Harry Kane. I think it might be time to drop him.
Well, listen, I mean, had it not been for that final goal, I mean, he had what, two touches in the first half, maybe three. One of them was a header, I think. You know,
until he had that touch.
Until he had that touch, right? Exactly. I don't disagree at all. And in fact, it was alarming to me as well. DCL wasn't on the bench. Was that an injury? But I lost that one. Dominic Calvert-Lewin wasn't.
I haven't got any reporting on it on myself, but others that have sort of seemed to say that no, it wasn't an injury.
Which is, you know, I mean, I think that at the very least, the strategy for today really fit perfectly for DCL. I know that it's Harry Kane and he's the captain, but to your point, absolutely. And then that begs the question, well, Harry Kane is not going to be dropped, right? Southgate's not going to drop him. See, the silence says everything. He agrees with me.
I thought you were going to carry on from there, but no, I mean, you're completely right. He is undroppable. He's the captain. And obviously, you know, he did score, but... You know, that scoring really kind of masked a pretty poor performance. I don't know what the plan was. I think that maybe that's the challenge. It seemed like this was a game that would suit him dropping deep. And he did that on occasion. But when he did, his touch was heavy. The ball coming from him was slow. You know, it's interesting, you know, bringing this up again from HQ. Patrick Bamford was talking about he needs to stay in the penalty box and trust that the service will come. But he does have to actually move when he's in the penalty box. And there was one moment in the first half, cross coming in from the left, and he'd gone so far out to the back post, and he kind of peeled onto Rudiger, which doesn't seem like something that would suit him because, you know, he's not going to win an aerial ball against Rudiger. And he left Saka to compete with him, like, as the natural person to aim the crosses at. I don't know if he's tired. I don't know if he's injured.
I don't think he's 100% fit. If I'm being honest, I think I don't even know if he's 80% fit. I think there's moments where I just don't see the mobility that you usually see when he plays with Tottenham, where he has a bigger task, especially when they play against tougher teams. I don't know.
And he's completely. I think the thing is, I agree with that, but he's also completely out of sync with the rest of the team.
Yeah,
they play one way, and it doesn't seem to translate to what he wants.
Maybe that's the gamble that Gareth Southgate took. He said, look, I will sacrifice the fact that my captain and lead striker is probably not going to have a good game, but I need to have him in it for the sake of just having this formation, this strategy, et cetera, with the double pivot with Rice and Phillips. I don't know. But I agree with everything you said. He will never drop him. I know that much.
Yeah. In the end, he's still the man I'd want to take a penalty. That's what it comes down to.
Well, I mean, and there you have it, though. The most important thing here, everybody, is that England wins 2-0 against Germany. Gareth Southgate, I've been reading it on social. I agree. It's time to trust him. If you're an England fan, it's just, you know, they haven't conceded a single goal all tournament. And now they face Ukraine, which will be interesting. So let's move on to that game where Sweden faced Ukraine today. It was 1-0. Man City's Zinchenko scored in the 27th minute and then Forsberg just before the break. And then it went to extra time and a red card. I saw arguments whether this was a red card, James Bench. How can that be?
The only way this could have been a more egregious like foul is if he'd like proceeded to club him in the knee.
If he took his cleat off and just kept just smashing him. Yeah. It was a red card.
People talk about things like intent here. You know, go read the rules. Intent's irrelevant. He was out of control. He hit the player in a very dangerous position. I don't think we know yet whether the Ukraine player suffered any sort of injury from this. I mean, it seems like every other Ukraine player did. But yeah. I mean, this is a clear red card. And I think it was such a bad tackle. He shouldn't have played again he won't play again. But if he played again in the tournament, that would have been too soon. Dreadful.
Yeah, it's very weird. Gary Lineker said it wasn't a red. I mean, he, you know, former striker, so maybe, you know, I don't know. It was an absolute red. Anyway, so that happened, and Sweden actually wanted to rely, and they nearly did it. They nearly took it to penalties, but then in stoppage time of extra time, Dovjak absolutely, what a great header, a great cross, and that's it. Boom, Andriy Shevchenko's Ukraine beat Sweden. I mean, I always thought it was a toss-up, but well done, Ukraine. Unbelievable.
I love it. I think they played some really nice football this tournament and been a little bit I think maybe the score lines haven't reflected the quality of the performances they've made. Equally, they've not always been the best as well at turning those nice passages into good shots. But that changed. You know, I think Yarmolenko, as ever, came alive. Zinchenko is kind of making a great pitch to Guardiola for, like, if you don't want to play me at left back, I could play midfield quite comfortably.
Yeah.
They're a slightly more expressive version of this Sweden team in that they are still really well drilled. I know that Shevchenko as well is quite a progressive manager. He's got huge data analysis teams. He films his training sessions with drones. Maybe not the sort of things you kind of think from an ex-pro, but obviously he's come from that Dynamo Kiev school. And I also know he gets involved in the training drills, which might be quite helpful because I don't know how many players they have now.
Yeah, well, and you might as well have one of the greatest strikers the game has ever seen to just, you know, go in there and give you a little bit. Friend of your show, by the way, the first ever interview on Che Golazo, Andrei Shevchenko. Yeah, very smart man. So when you tell me about all these things that he does for training, it doesn't surprise me now, thinking about it when I was talking to him. Very, very smart guy. But, hey, listen, here's one for you. So anyway, so Ukraine's lose. So let me just run through you. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, everybody. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're just going to have a quick gut reaction to the quarterfinal stage, which are on Friday and on Saturday. So be right back with Che Golazo and James Mensch.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Che Golazo. James Bench in the house. James, everybody, let me just run through the Euro 2020 quarterfinal now that it's set. Friday, Switzerland against Spain. That's 12 p.m. Eastern here in America on the East Coast. Belgium against Italy, 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Hope you don't have any Friday plans, especially in the afternoon or the evening. Saturday, Czech Republic against Denmark. That's at noon, 12 p.m. Eastern, and Ukraine against England, 3 p.m. Eastern. Four third-place teams in this quarterfinal, James Bench.
Remarkable.
I know, right? So as I read that, what sticks out? Obviously, Belgium, Italy is a good one, but what else sticks out to you?
I mean, we should start with Belgium, Italy.
Yeah, probably.
It's a fascinating blend here of a team that I think is really reliant on superstar power and will not have Kevin De Bruyne. So Romelu Lukaku, I hope you're ready to do some heavy lifting. And then Italy, for me, are still a team with wonderful connectivity, great depth. Marco Verratti might miss the first two games of the tournament and still be the player of the tournament. He is wonderful. And I kind of have a little theory that will infuriate Jonathan Johnson that PSG are letting him down and giving him a canvas of nothing to work with. So I'm really excited for that, but equally I kind of don't think that will be one of the closer games. I think I'm intrigued to get your take on Czech Republic, Denmark. I think that will be the dark horses fan. You know, this is going to be the really interesting game. I think Denmark playing wonderful football, Czech Republic, really interesting team, press really smart, good at winning the ball back and then moving fast. But I don't know, what's your favorites among this?
Well, I mean, Belgium, Italy obviously is a headliner to all the points that you just mentioned. I'm also wondering about Eden Hazard's availability, right? Kevin De Bruyne, we know for sure. But Belgium is very stacked. But then Austria showed a few things that you can do with Italy if you frustrate them the right way. So I do wonder about that, even though Belgium play a different game, a possession-based, you know, quick tempo kind of situation that Italy kind of don't mind because they're so good defensively. So there's one side. In the Czech Republic, Denmark, I'll go back to something that you said, eh? Because I know that they were one of your dark horses before the tragedy of Christian Eriksen and stuff. And rightly so. This is a very good team. People forget that even before the emotional mountain they had to climb. This is a very good team that possesses a lot of talent, experience. And I think on his day, Poulsen is unplayable. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, he is so good. And I think that to what you said about Ukraine and England, because we've already kind of talked about it, but we can a little bit more, how they're going to probably going to say, have the ball, let's see what you can do. The Czech Republic are probably going to do the same thing to Denmark, but Denmark are so much more aggressive going forward. So I wonder how that's going to go into their plans. And of course, Switzerland, Spain. Well, listen, I've said it a million times. I'll say the quote again. Luis Enrique calling Spain a bottle of champagne. All it needs to do is pop and then all the goodness flows out. I think this is the end for Switzerland. I think it took everything out of them for France. Spain, first of all, France are so talented, but they're nowhere near as creatively from a possession perspective as Spain. And Spain will figure you out better. So I think they'll win that one. And then England, Ukraine, well, obviously I'm thinking that England will have enough to do it, but you never know. I mean, they're very good games. It's amazing to me that I began this by saying that three of these teams are from the third place spot. Amazing.
I'm really starting to, you know, I mean, I've done my power rankings as well for the quarterfinals. I'm really starting to come around to Spain winning this tournament.
I mean, listen, now it's any game. I mean, to me, that's not insane. That's 10 goals in two games, James Bench.
You know, I think I certainly will admit I was really guilty of looking at Alvaro Morata's struggles and kind of forgetting that if he has a bad game, that's kind of fine if you've got Ferran Torres and you've got maybe another contender for my player of the tournament, Pablo Sarabia.
Yeah, great player.
Another player who just seems to be a lot better, not in a PSG shirt.
JJ, ears are so red right now.
I know. I mean, you know, look at the creativity of them. 10.6 expected goals. The next best in the competition, Denmark, Netherlands on 8.5, huge gulf. And they're really warming up. They're getting so much better. There's variety in how they hit you. I mean, they just ran five past Croatia without Jordi Alba, one of the most creative left backs in world football. So, you know, I think obviously I would still make whoever comes out of that side of the draw, assuming it's not Switzerland. To me, I think that you've probably got to mark them down as favourites to win the tournament. And I think this is where the real excitement lies. Obviously, the other side of the draw is more tension. It is there for England. It's disingenuous. I think there's a lot of fear within England about being seen as arrogant, thinking that you've done the job before you have. And of course, the players do need to, you know, keep their head on. Let's not start thinking about the final when we've got a quarter final and a semi-final.
Yeah.
But actually, now is the right time to say, fantastic, well done, England, for getting past Germany. But now you have to reach the final.
Yeah, make it count.
It's just not, it's none of those teams, even Denmark, who are a really good team, really strong defence. You have to beat them. You're England. That's, you know, that's going to be the minimum level of expectation now. So I think it's two fascinating sides of the draw, real balance. And as you say, it's great that we've got some third place teams, some wild cards. Granit Xhaka running the tournament for Switzerland as well.
Granit Xhaka, imagine Granit Xhaka at the Euro 20 final. How amazing for that!
it's utter. I don't want to, you know, go on another Arsenal tangent, but it's utterly magnificent that Arsenal have unlocked this good version of Xhaka in his final season with Mikel Arteta. He's then taken that to new heights. With Switzerland, and that right now they are working to sell him to Roma for, I don't know if the, you know, I don't believe negotiations really changed very much, a pittance, 15 million euros.
Yeah, well, that should climb up, I think, especially since this tournament, because you can see what's happened. It's
wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. By the way, I mean, there's so many players here that, you know, Seferovic, Brilliant Bolo, he's going to be a problem. I mean, okay, well, let's do a fun game here before we leave, James Bench. Quick gut instinct reaction, okay? Don't even think about it. I'm going to give you the matchup. You tell me who wins, okay?
Okay, you got to do it back to me as well.
Yeah. Fine. All right, okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right. Switzerland, Spain. Belgium, Italy.
Italy.
Czech Republic, Denmark.
Denmark.
Ukraine, England.
England.
Oh, you thought the longest in that one. All right, so your semifinals are from that Spain. You said Italy?
Spain, Italy, yeah.
Yeah, and then Denmark against England. All right, here we go. Ready? You ready? Yeah. All right. Spain, Italy.
Italy.
Denmark, England.
Denmark.
This is what you did at HQ with Germany, and it worked. Hey, so, okay, that's fine.
It's hard to, I've seen this too much with England, even though that they would be really strong favorites.
I know, my friend. So have I. And I think moving to America made me more of an idealist, I think. If I'd stayed in Blighty, I think I probably would have been with you too. But
go on, what have you got then?
Okay, fine. All right. Spain, Belgium, Denmark, England. James, you really convinced me here. Spain, England final. Isn't that amazing? I tell you what, though, I did predict England for the final way before in our brackets. I got the other side totally wrong. But England, I'm still a believer. So amazing that both of us have Spain going pretty far. But I don't know about Italy. Italians are probably getting really mad at us right now because it's not like
they've still had them to win the whole tournament.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, no, they're fine with you.
Rankings since game two. I actually bought an Adidas sort of semi, I don't know what the city edition thing they call it, Italy shirt. I'm all in on Italy right now. I don't know if there's anywhere that I'll be able to watch Serie A in the US next season.
Yeah, I know. Let me think about that. CBS Sports, Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have, everybody. James Bench, follow him on Twitter. Same name, James Bench. The whole thing, and CBS Sports as well. You can read his content. And James, of course, will be back next week as we discuss more Euro 2020. James Bench, final thoughts before we say goodbye. Anything on your mind?
It's coming home.
It's coming home.
I don't believe that, but you know, it's nice to get taken away.
Might as well say it, right? We know it was then, but it could be again. All right, well done. James Bench, thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank James Bench for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. We are also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, youtube.com/ Que Golazo. As we mentioned, stay with us. We have plenty more Que Golazo, including our previews for Euro 2020. We also have Copa America as well, because those are entering the quarterfinals. And next week, we'll have plenty more, including Gold Cup and much, much more. The beautiful game never stops, and neither do we. Have a great, great day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.